Welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. Of course, I'll give out Karen's number again. It's 086 606 9009 if you want to make contact with Karen Prendergast, because we're still getting lots of questions in on various colours. And as my friends and family very quick to remind me, I'm colourblind, so it's the last advice I'll be giving for sure. Ukraine's government has called for an emergency meeting of the Ukraine, of the UN Security Council, indeed, to counter the Kremlin's nuclear blackmail after Russian President Vladimir Putin revealed plans to station tactical atomic weapons in Belarus. And Russia has said the plan to station tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus comes in response to the West's increasing military support for Ukraine. Now, Clonmel man Andrew Last is in Ukraine. He's a frequent contributor to the show, and he's online with me now. Andrew, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed, and great to talk to you again. Whereabouts are you at the moment, Andrew?
So right now, Fran, I'm in Kyiv. I'm just after returning from Kharkiv, which is eastern Ukraine, last Friday.
Very good. And did you injure yourself along the way somewhere?
I did. It's kind of a recurring back injury, Fran, and I suppose the amount of mileage that I've done over the past year in and out, especially with the driving, hasn't been very kind to me. And obviously we're lifting, you know, quite a lot of humanitarian aid and medical supplies. So I've just exacerbated a back injury there. I basically slipped a disc.
My God, yeah. And yeah, I presume you still have lots of travelling to do and lots of getting out and about to do.
I do indeed, Fran. So I'm actually making my way back to Ireland now within the next week, and I have to pick up a wheelchair accessible vehicle that was very kindly fundraised by a wonderful woman named Orla Christian, and her lovely family. They managed to get enough funds to raise a wheelchair accessible vehicle which can actually hold three passengers and a driver, plus four wheelchairs. And the previous owner of the vehicle has kindly, you know, obviously done an MOT, whatever you'd call it, and they've also donated the straps to hold down the actual wheelchairs. So we're going to be driving that full of medical supplies back over to the east of Ukraine, and we're going to be giving it to a local charity there who deals with people with additional needs.
That's very interesting, Andrew, because we don't often think of that people with disabilities are caught up with this war as well.
Absolutely, Fran. And I mean, like, these are the kind of people who are stuck, you know, in the hot zones, as we would call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have to do evacuations, and, you know, we don't have the appropriate equipment, you know, to be able to bring them out. So we're really kind of, you know, flying by the seat of our pants quite a lot of the times in terms of, you know, sometimes we just lift up the wheelchair, put it in, and we're holding it, which obviously isn't safe in terms of, you know, driving according to rules of the road. But when you're in frontline locations, Fran, unfortunately, there are, you know, no rules of the road.
Of course. We there's so much information out there about what's happening in Ukraine. I often think that people are confused at this point, Andrew. For instance, where you've been over the last few weeks, I mean, what are you seeing on the ground there?
I mean, just staying in Kharkiv City, I mean, you're literally listening to air raid alarms going off a minimum of 9 times a day. That's a minimum. Like, that is nonstop. These can be heard all over the city. If you're unfortunate, you're going to be close or hit by a missile, which have been lobbed literally 80 kilometres away from Belgorod, which is Russian territory. I've been in a situation where I've been very, very close, within a 1 kilometre distance of two separate missile attacks. On another instance then as well, myself and a friend, we were going down to pick up some supplies in the city centre, and there was a children's school was hit by two missiles, not one. So this is a kind of a day-to-day occurrence for the Ukrainian people, especially in the east and the southern parts of Ukraine.
Right. And were the young people in that school at the time?
Thankfully, there was nobody injured.
Right.
But yes, there were people in the hospital at the time.
What is it like to witness something like that? I mean, what is it like to be there and these missiles raining down? What is that experience like, Andrew?
It's very difficult, Fran, because, you know, this isn't something that we as Irish people would have ever experienced at home.
Yeah.
As you well know, I was a former firefighter. I spent 10 years in the fire service in Ireland. I'm also an emergency medical technician. I've worked in very austere environments and in very crazy and chaotic situations. But, you know, nothing compares to a wartime situation where you're literally under attack by missile strikes or by drone strikes, or potentially in the frontline areas, you could be under artillery fire or you could be under small weapons attacks.
And what these missile strikes, is there a lot of noise when these things are coming through
it's,
the sky?
Like nothing I've ever experienced before. I mean, I would have heard, you know, things like oxyacetylene cylinders going off or, you know, airbags, you know, going off in car fires and things like that. And they're quite, you know, quite startling.
Yeah.
But to hear something with the actual power of, you know, a cruise missile or a Shahed drone, you know, going off within a 1 kilometre range, it's something else. It's just people cannot comprehend how difficult that is. I was 1 kilometre away. My apartment windows were reverberating. They were vibrating so violently as a result of that. You could literally feel the shockwave coming through.
You see, as you say, it's unimaginable for us who haven't experienced anything like that. You know, the fear alone must be, you know.
It's something that obviously, you know, I would have huge admiration for the Ukrainian people, especially those who chose to stay and to, you know, try and support their economy or support, you know, the local voluntary groups or, you know, continue to fight for their country. I honest to God, I don't know how they do it, Fran, because it's very, very difficult, you know, to maintain that mental strength and mental toughness to continue, you know, doing what they do under such difficult circumstances. And like I've said on previous shows before, all the Ukrainian people really want is they want their land back, they want to go back home, and they want to live their lives in peace. That's it, you know. And unfortunately, you know, the Russians are behaving like a terrorist state, and they are committing, you know, war crimes and acts of terrorism in Ukraine.
Yeah, the latest that we heard about the kids being taken from families and taken back to Russia, I mean, that's a whole other dynamic, isn't it?
It's very, very frightening, and this has been going on, you know, for the full year, and this is only coming to light now, because you know, due diligence has to be done, and evidence has to be gathered, you know, in order to make such a comprehensive case. There's going to be, I would imagine, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of more cases very, very similar to that in Mariupol alone. They estimate that there are over 100,000 Ukrainian civilians buried underneath the rubble. And Vladimir Putin is walking around there as if he's, you know, opening up a new supermarket. I mean, it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, we saw those images of him there visiting apartments and the like, as you say, with a smile. And it was like, you know, somebody going for a high office or something and canvassing in some way.
Yeah, pretty much. And unfortunately, he's after getting caught out in what he's doing, because he has a lot of paid actors very, very quite frequently get seen on other different staged meetings or posts. And there was actually a Ukrainian shouted out in that video, you know, this is all fake. It's not real. In terms of what they were speaking about was Mr. Putin's show of, you know, we're after liberating Mariupol. There's nothing left in Mariupol to liberate.
And you think 100,000 could easily be buried under the rubble there?
Yeah.
My God, that's...
The building that he was viewing was basically, it was a theatre house, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people were killed in that particular building. And that's the building. That is evidence of a war crime that he is covering up. I mean, and this is frightening stuff.
And are you saying to me this thing about him having doubles and people who are stand-ins for him, lookalikes, and they're like that? That's very real, as far as you're concerned, is it?
I don't know so much in terms of his doubles or standalones, but I can tell you that if you start looking at the photographs or even the video that he does of these meetings, it's always the same group of people around. There's a blonde lady there, and she's in a military uniform, and then she's, you know, she's dressed up in a dress. And then there's, you know, another couple of people there that are doing the exact same thing. They're just playing a role. Right.
This is for his own security, obviously. He's only surrounding himself by the same people all of the time that he can trust.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's incredible. What are the people making of the recent news about the deployment of tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus as well? I mean, that's escalation
to
some degree.
Ukrainian people, Fran,
yeah.
Is it?
No, yeah, I'm just wondering, I mean, are they frightened about that?
It's just another day for them.
Is it?
For the Ukrainian people, it's just another day. I mean, at the end of the day, Russia has always had that capability. And this is the rhetoric now and the narrative that they want to put fear into people, especially into people from Western countries who are supporting Ukraine, that if you don't do this, well, I can't say I'm going to do this, but it's very, very possible. So, you know, this is all just games and posturing and things like that. It's all a lot of noise, really, to be honest with you, because if he is that mad and that crazy enough to press that button, you know, it's a war that nobody wins, you know. So it's frightening to think that somebody would manipulate and use weapons of such mass destruction in such a way.
And this suits Belarus because they've been looking for this for some time because, of course, on their borders are NATO countries.
Absolutely. But also the fact as well that Lukashenko is not a legitimate president also.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he is basically a puppet president. And, you know, his greatest opposition threat has had to leave the country for fear of execution.
It's just incredible. Just finally, Andrew, morale there, is it still high even in the midst of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it is, Fran. Again, as I said, people are just going about their days. And actually, what I have noticed is that there are, you know, there's an increase in people, you know, who are after returning, you know, to the safer areas of Ukraine. So the likes of Kharkiv, when I would have went there in November, it would have been extremely quiet. Maybe I'd say it was probably 40 to 50% occupied with Ukrainians, say, for example. Now that number seems to have gone up by about 60, 70%. And I can base that based on traffic, really. In Kyiv, Ukraine, also the amount of traffic is after becoming, you know, far greater than what it was in previous visits. So, you know, this is, you know, what I've been trying to say to people. All Ukraine wants and all Ukrainian people wants is to return to their homes and live their lives in peace. And it's a great sign, but at the same time, they still live in fear of missile attacks, drone attacks, and potential invasion from the Russian state.
Just finally, you're part, I heard you on National Radio, you're part of an international documentary on Ukraine at the moment, and they look at some of your work out there as well, Andrew.
I mean, there's a friend of mine, his name is Finn Boylan, and he's a fantastic documentary filmmaker. And I had the pleasure of meeting Finn back in March, and I was very kind of skeptical about, you know, speaking to press or anything like that. I'm generally a fairly private person,
and
I only really wanted to kind of support yourselves. But there has been a lot of interest in some of the work that I've been doing here, as well as the other, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of Irish volunteers who have helped, you know, in such a different difficult situation. And, you know, I suppose once I got to know Finn a little bit better, I could see exactly, you know, what his purpose was, and that he wasn't trying, you know, to get some, you know, clickbait sensationalist headline.
Yeah.
What he wanted was to actually tell the real story of not only the Ukrainian people and the difficult and horrendous circumstances that they had to overcome, but also, you know, the heart of Irish volunteers who have been helping and trying to support them as best as we possibly can.
Well done to you and all the great work, Andrew, and we look forward to seeing you when you're back. Look after yourself in the meantime, won't you?
I will, of course, Fran. Thanks again, as always.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you. That's Clonmelman, Andrew Last, there live with us this morning from Kyiv in Ukraine. We'll take a break and then Dear Phil is with us.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.